here's a story from The World.
We all know Dorothy's famous adage, "There's no place like home." Daily, we are confronted with events that cause people around the globe to lose their homes, often driven out by conflict and natural disaster. Among the humanitarian groups that rush into the void to help is an organization called Shelterbox USA. They're based in California and have partners from Asia to Latin America. Shelterbox has worked in hundreds of crises you would have heard about in the news. I recently interviewed the president of Shelterbox, Carrie Murray, in Thousand Oaks, California, at the Schur Forum Theater during a live edition of the show produced by public radio station KCLU, something we did for the first time. It was a pleasure to be invited. Here's part of our conversation from the stage. I started by asking Carrie Murray about a large tent that was set up next to us.
So what you're seeing here is what's called a standard relief tent. I know that this looks like a recreation tent. It is not. This is made for humanitarian purposes. It is the place that a family will call home for months after losing their home. And it's based on the simple premise of what are the things that you need to sustain your life if you lose everything in an instant.
So just briefly, what is the difference between this and a family camping tent?
So this here is actually a double-walled tent. It's been engineered. So inside the tent, you can create rooms. There's privacy screens. There's areas for light and ventilation. This can withstand heavy wind and rain situations as well. And this can serve up to 10 people. Yes.
What are the different types of aid that Shelterbox sends out? And how do you actually determine from afar what the specific needs are of people on the ground?
Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to meet the unique needs of the situation. That could mean we're procuring items in the region. It could also mean that we're providing multi-purpose cash allotments to help people access the basic things that they need. That means doing a lot of assessments.
Right.
We've had teams actively working in Ukraine all year, and the needs have shifted as the front lines have shifted, right? And also as people have returned to the country and as the seasons have changed. So we have to be really fine-tuning our work to meet people where they are in the moment.
Tell us a bit more about that. I know you're heading there pretty mm-hmm. soon.
I would say this is the most complex part of our work right now. We're in the month of January. It's the coldest month of the year. There's been airstrikes daily, and a lot of it has been targeting the power infrastructure. So people have oftentimes no power, no water, no running water, no heat. And so it's created a lot of challenges for these families. So our goal is, how do we help people survive the winter? We're also helping people repair homes. So it's plastic sheeting for the bombed out windows. It's foam sealants. And the situation is really dire.
Whenever, you know, we do interviews about the war in Ukraine, invariably we'll ask the expert, how long is this going to go on for? Mm-hmm. And nobody knows. So how do you prepare for that?
Mm-hmm. So we're already preparing for what we're going to be doing next winter. Mm. So we believe this will be a long, protracted situation.
Right. So moving off of Ukraine, I want to talk about your response to natural disasters. How has climate change affected the work of Shelterbox?
Immensely. We have seen just the absolute devastation of communities. I mean, we're seeing it right now in Pakistan. This will also be a very long response for our organization. We see it routinely in the Philippines. And we had one of our largest natural disaster responses in our history last year for Super Typhoon Rai, which devastated that island nation. Most people never even heard about it.
Yeah.
Really didn't make the news cycle.
No, it didn't.
But they're becoming, the scale and the severity of these storms are becoming much worse.
So let me follow up on that. For those of you who did not see Al Gore speak at Davos at the World Economic Forum, he was uncharacteristically angry about the lack of will to really tackle climate change in a meaningful way. Gore was predicting 1 billion climate refugees mm-hmm. this century. Mm-hmm. Leading, he said, to the globe's inability for self-governance. So as an organization that responds to people's need for homes, how do you adapt the current model for this crazy future?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do routinely now is pre-position aid items all across the world, from the International Humanitarian City in Dubai to Panama to the Philippines. And we're really looking at what type of aid item is most culturally appropriate where we're working? Where can we move and be most nimble? How can we build partnerships in these areas? But, you know, I think the numbers are staggering. And it's one of the biggest challenges we face is that the numbers are just growing exponentially every year.
Kerry Murray, president of Shelterbox USA, thank you so much for explaining what you do. Thank you for coming tonight to the Shelterbox Theater.
Thank you. Thank you.
This conversation was part of a live stage show in Thousand Oaks, California, that The World produced with public radio station KCLU. Our thanks to staff and listeners there. We'll be featuring more from that live show in the coming weeks.